Hello, this is the Dot Matrix, and I'm Sean.
And I'm Justin.
And we figured I'd start this one, since we think you did last time.
It's always a democracy, or equitocracy, or whatever, or I have no idea what to call it.
Socialist, populist kind of, well, I don't know.
Anyways.
But I'm not going to start with a, like I did next time. So, you know when you hear radio shows or podcasts, when the question gets asked, and then the guest goes, well, you know, it drives me nuts. I don't know about you, but Woody Allen actually does that all over Manhattan. Next time you watch Manhattan.
Really? Okay. I never thought about it. I never noticed that.
Oh, that's, you know, crazy. You know, it's... Anyway, enough of that.
But... Well, it's episode 23. It's been a little bit since we did the last one, although not too far a big gap, but we have tried to hurry this one through because we will try to turn this around in record time and get this posted ASAP.
Yes.
Because, well, I would. Now I keep waiting to do it.
See?
Because you have this little trip you have to go on.
Absolutely.
We're in this. It's funny because we've used a different lighting today. It's a little bit more mellow and it's a little bit, have a little bit of a warm glow. The glow of the lighting really fits the glow of your pre-trip.
Yes. Aura. To my Paris excursion.
Yes. Yes. You must be excited.
Very excited. And, you know, we've known we've been going for, well, since the holidays, Christmas holidays, so probably almost 4 months now.
Yeah.
It's a long time coming. It's good that in a few days I'll be, And the great news about that, for on the way, is because we're flying from Vancouver to Seattle, and then Seattle to Paris.
Okay, yeah.
Via Air France.
Air France. Yes. Nice. Forget Air Canada.
Well, it's Air Canada Seattle.
Oh, God.
Yes. But today, our itinerary slightly changed. We're on Alaska.
You're on Alaska.
To
nice.
Seattle. Isn't that great?
What happened?
It just happens a lot, you know, like a few days before a flight. I don't know if you find, like, ones that you schedule months in advance.
Right.
They say don't, you know, print the e-ticket yet, right until you hear confirmation, because you might be switched. And that happened to us a year ago when we went to San Francisco with Steve and Jenny.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had that happen to me. Never. Well.
Air Canada and Alaska, they have this kind of
this
thing.
Part of that Star Alliance thing.
Or yeah.
Whatever,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, as long as you know, Alaska Airlines will probably not go bankrupt before it comes into this.
I was just telling a friend in the building here, actually. I was just saying, hey, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, you're going soon. I said, yeah. And I said, but that's if Air Canada stays above water, you know, like, because the recession's hitting them really hard.
Well, so. There was a story in the news just yesterday about how there's a new CEO and a new CFO or whatever it is, or COO at Air Canada. Mm-hmm. And, it's a time of great restructuring because the, you know, the airline industry is going, it's tanking. Last year was the high oil fuel prices. Now it's the recession and the depression, basically. No one's traveling anywhere. And they're saying how Air Canada's on the verge of another bankruptcy. They're second in 6 years. And I'm like, but then the story goes, but there's lots of great deals. Everyone should go fly. And, you know, all these people are taking advantage of these really cheap tickets. But I'm like, well, yeah, I could buy a, you know, $90 ticket to New York City, but if my airline goes bankrupt when I'm halfway on my trip and have no ticket back, I mean,
yes,
you know, I'm not quite sure I'm going to be flying Air Canada.
Where does that leave you? Yeah.
I know.
WestJet, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. A national airplane company, service provider, whatever.
Usually they're called airlines.
Airlines. I don't know why I'm trying to be over particular, but
airplane provider. That's awesome.
Airplane service provider, you know, like a flying provider. You know those guys, you just get on the plane, they fly you around, those guys. You'd think that, you know, the national airline could get their shit together, but I guess they can't.
Well, didn't Air Italia go bankrupt last year or something like that? Like,
oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
And they're the big one for Italy? Or?
Yes, yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of interesting.
And I just figure KLM must keep themselves profitable because their planes haven't changed since the 1980s. So,
nothing's changed. Well, about
Well, I maybe something has changed in the last 10 years, but I was surprised that when I flew KLM for the first time in 10 years in 1998, and the last time was like 80-something, right?
Yeah.
That the same plane, same uniform, same everything, same, you know, like...
Yeah.
At that point, there was still, like, a lot of carriers had screens behind the seats, right? Well, especially the Asian ones. And I'd just flown, like, Singapore Airlines, like, a few months earlier, which was, like... the best airline.
Yeah.
Like, any Asian airline.
Cathay Pacific for us was great.
Oh.
They're so nice. Like, the attendance and, I mean, you just feel so much, that much more relaxed, don't you find?
Oh, yeah.
And well, the screens work.
Us Asians don't give, don't go for crap. We want good quality stuff. <It's> like,
not taking it. All good quality, of course.
But yeah, so I joke about KLM, like, being, like, so out of date, but it's been 10 years ago, so who knows? Maybe they're better now.
I know what you're talking about when you say that, too, you know. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, that's cool. Yeah, so we're going to be there for 2 weeks. And we've
two
got...
2 weeks? That's awesome.
Yeah, in one city. Yeah.
And that's the best part about it. Like, it's... I mean, maybe we're repetitive. Maybe we've talked about this before, but I know we've talked a little bit about the trip, but...
Right.
I just think it's great when you can... It's so civilized, you know, to go to one place... for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just love it. That's brilliant.
You know, we're going to take a couple of day trips out.
Right.
You know, places like Versailles and, you know, not crazy far out there, but outside of the main city and you know, lots of places in the city. You know, we're looking up jazz clubs, we're looking up bars, looking up bakeries, like patisseries, gastropubs. Restaurants,
gastropubs. I love it.
I know, I just love it. I know. I was thinking too, like, if we ever wanted to open a restaurant,
call it a gas
gastropub. No,
there's
that
us
would
every
be the
day
cool.
in the background recording a podcast behind some screen. Yeah,
no. Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, like DJs or go-go girls. Yeah. It's us behind the screen.
More like DJs, less like go-go girls. Maybe.
Let me think about that. Yes, you're right. Oh, we're on fire today. This is great.
Oh, gosh.
It's been a while, so.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's happening. So, and then, you know, we'll get this one out. So, hopefully, by the time people are listening to this, if they do listen to them after they're posted.
Right, yes. That's always a mystery. You never know.
Yeah.
It's an unknown factor.
Then maybe, you know, they're probably listening while I'm there. Or hopefully before I come back. And then when I do come back. We'll do a follow-up, and I'll tell us everyone about the trip. Sort of like when you went to Italy, and you told us about that trip.
Last year. Yeah, that's right.
Almost a year, huh?
Over a year ago, I think.
Oh, was that 2007 you went?
Yeah.
Right, because we started our podcast a few months after that.
Yeah, we talked about it, though. I think in our year-end or something.
Oh, that's great. Can you believe that? 2 years, almost, since you've been to Italy?
Yeah. I am.
What is the next trip planned for you, do you know?
I don't know. I was just sitting down with my boss today and we're talking about vacation. And it's funny because I got really sick, like shortly after we did our last podcast, I got a really bad head cold and just one of those colds where you cough and you sneeze and your head just feels like it's in a vice, you know? It's just awful. And then I was sick and away from work for almost a week, like 4 days I was away from the office from Tuesday through Friday. And Tuesday, I worked from home, so I did a conference call, and I did some work, and then that just killed me. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I couldn't do anything.
Wow, like, bad.
I literally was on the couch with my nose just dripping and coughing like crazy. But stupid me, I still had to give a speech on Thursday, and so on Thursday, I was giving the speech, and I was like dripping my nose, and people in the audience together and give me Kleenex.
Oh, no, you're kidding. Are you serious?
Because I had used up all my Kleenex on the drive out to Surrey.
Oh, no, that bad, huh?
It was pretty bad. So I've been thinking about, like, gosh, you know, now I'm better. I mean, I've not got this just horrible allergies, though, so that's my problem.
Me too.
But, I'm thinking I need a bit of a break, so I'm thinking I'm going to take probably a week off in the next month, like sometime in May, maybe a week off.
Cool.
But at the same time, I think I might have to squeeze in a trip to Ottawa at the same time, which will be not fun, but necessary.
Yeah.
And then I think in August, early August, I want to have 2 weeks sometime.
Oh, yeah, because you guys might be going somewhere.
Well, I don't know. I know my girlfriend has a, has a week off, I believe. She's not quite sure when she comes back from Taiwan. Then I'll we'll look at her schedule. But I think it's sometime in early August, she thinks. And then I figure I'll take the week before and then that week off. And hopefully we get to go somewhere. Who knows?
Be nice and warm. And
yeah, and otherwise it'd just be nice to get a couple of weeks off, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah. Chill out. Hang out.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Because I know another one of my coworkers thinking maybe later on in the month, so at least we won't be we'll be staggering the vacations, which would be nice. So
vacation arranging is really tricky at work places.
Well, for us it's not so bad because we are we're four, so it's pretty easy.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to like, you know, hundreds or whatever.
Right. So, yeah, we just have under 20 usually, and
I think that number is when it becomes really tricky, because whether you when you're 100 or 200 or 300, then really you going on vacation only matters to maybe the 10 people around you, you know, who are working in your unit or whatever.
That's right.
But when you're 20, it's kind of smaller, that it's kind of an integrated ship, you know, and everything sort of, so it probably becomes even more difficult. So
yeah, I mean, we booked these ones, like I said, back in the end of last year, and which was great. You know, I mean, you want to do that, I mean, not only for so your work knows, but also just so you can, you know, it helps plan out your own life, you know, when you get things done.
And, yeah.
But, well, that's cool. And
yeah,
so we'll see what happens and what experiences, and see if I, you know, break on through a little bit. And
yeah, yeah.
And
I can't wait to hear about it all.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. What have you got on your list there?
Well, we've mentioned Air Canada and your Paris trip and vacations and colds and flus, and I I threw in a little shout out to my girlfriend who's in Taipei coming back on Sunday.
Very cool. Yes,
I am thrilled. I'm going to be pulling a few all nighters just to get all this work I want to get and volunteer stuff out of the way. Then I can have my weekend and everything I was going to do on a Sunday, and now I have to do on a Saturday, and we're going to pack that baby tight on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, her plane arrives at 10:45 in the morning, although the last couple of flights have arrived at 10:55, so maybe it's 10 minutes late. I'm thrilled because I thought her flight was going to come in at 5 in the afternoon, but it actually comes first thing in the morning, so in a decent hour in the morning, so I'll go out there, pick her up, and then I will not materialize for 5 days.
Wow.
Well, not really, but you know.
You mean like come up for air, like just kind of like make yourself...
Yeah, at some point, you know, if you're
known in the world.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, so I am completely thrilled. And as everyone knows who are friends with me on Facebook, I have been counting up, but at the same time now counting down.
Right.
27 days that she's been away. So it's been pretty...
It seemed like it flew by. I don't know, for
the rest of us. Yes, for the rest of you. Yes, it did. It was quite tough, I have to say. And this week has been... Actually, in some ways, it's been particularly tough, but particularly easier because she's been away at some... It's a young health professionals exchange program that she's doing for a week.
Okay.
Sort of people of Taiwanese descent go to Taiwan and learn about the Taiwanese healthcare system, and Taiwanese healthcare professionals learn about the different systems in different countries.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a cultural exchange. So, and she... I mean, she planned this trip already, and then when this opportunity came up to be part of this program... the timing just worked, and so, but she's staying a bit longer than she probably would have if this program wasn't happening. So then instead of being in the apartment where she grew up with her family and with a phone and accessible, she's in a hotel and with a roommate, and I haven't talked to her in days. So.
Wow.
It's been tough.
You say that just like Jon Stewart. Just like Jon Stewart. That's so funny.
But so that was on my list, and so let me just write that down, Emily. And the next one on my list was, and I want to bring this up because it's really been bothering me for the last day. We've been talking about the taser incident and Robert Szukanski.
Yes.
And the trial have just restarted again, or the tribunal inquiry, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they've gone through one, of course, all of the four RCMP officers, all of them were shown to be liars. You know, like every statement, all the four statements on that day were all wrong. And don't, incredible. Of course, we don't want to get started again about how dangerous staplers are for people with Kevlar vests. You know, like,
sure.
You know, it's a real, you know, personal safety issue, of course.
Of course.
And then the big thing in the last day I saw this in the news yesterday is that they're doing a lot of now character interviews with family members of Robert Jakansky from Poland and video conference calls and that sort of stuff. And apparently the lawyers for the RCMP officers are basically asking all these questions of friends and asking them how, that he had an alcohol problem or that he was in, he was in, like, I guess a detention center as a juvenile delinquent or something at some point in his life. And, different cultures have different tolerances and different traditions around alcohol anyways. And I think the Polish tradition is a little bit more, you know, was more alcohol involved in that tradition and culture than, let's say, in North America, sure. Right? Like, for us, maybe a beer or two beers is starting to get up there. But, you know, two beers is like what you kind of do when you're done mm-hmm. work or whatever the tradition is, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were asking all these questions to the family members about that and friends. And they were all mad. And you could tell the lawyers were trying to make Jakansky just ruin his reputation, make him sound like this aggressive guy that was, you know, like he had it coming, so to speak, right? And I'm like, well, one... And the lawyer for the Polish government and the lawyer for the family or whatever, all were saying the same thing in this news story was that, you know, when it's repulsive to slander the good the name of the dead for yep. one, and that's a very emotional thing, but it's true.
Absolutely.
The second part is, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because what does it matter? I know.
The circumstances of what we're talking about is what is happening at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, he could have been like, you know, a mass murderer or criminal or, you know, he stole cars all the time or whatever. But at that moment, what he would, it's the RCMP's actions at that moment in that circumstance.
Correct.
Which is not informed at all by whether or not he drinks three beers every day or not. Or
yeah.
Or what they don't know that. Like, yeah.
At the time. And all that is completely beside the point. And it's, and you know, I can see when they try to really come down on a, like, what do you call it? Character assassination, like on a criminal trial.
Right.
You know, that usually that comes into play more, you know, we watch Law and Order.
Yes.
But on a serious level, I totally agree. And I think it's just absolutely horrible. And you know, like, do they think people are gonna buy this? You know, like, it's insulting to the people that they're asking the questions to, and it's insulting to the average person who reads up on this stuff in this country and says, is this as good as it gets? Like, is this our top guys? You know, we're all hoping that. I still believe, even after all these incidents and the other incidents in downtown, the female cop shot the wrong guy and killed him.
Right.
You know, I still believe that with all these bad things going on, that there are still some really good cops out there who just want to do a good job, that want to protect the people and have the people's interest in mind. I think there needs to be a huge review on conduct. I mean... Any given day, I was thinking about this because I'm walking Dexter all the time outside.
Right. Yep.
And I see cops all the time in this area. They do the stupidest things, like in their cop cars, like almost causing accidents, just going through intersections because they only turn on their flashes for like 2 seconds and
to get past the NGS. I've seen that all the time.
You see it all the time. They do things. You're driving behind them and they're riding in two lanes. You know, not knowing where they want to go. They're driving too slow. They're driving too fast. They're doing all this stuff. So obviously they're thinking of something. They got laptops right in their front seat.
Right.
Too much going on. They're doing all these questionable things. And you wonder, like, are some getting lazy? Are some getting just completely, you know, indifferent, ambivalent? I don't know. But it really, all this stuff has caused a lot of mistrust, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of that. And all of that complacency has sort of led to a...
Complacency, that's a good word.
It's led to an unhealthy culture, I think,
in
law enforcement, at least in Canada, or at least in Vancouver, from what I can see. I mean, mm-hmm. Again, it's not painting a brush on everyone, although it is kind of starting to sound like it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I just think like, yeah, there's this sense of unaccountability that, you know, we've got Kevlar vests and we've got badges and we've got guns and tasers, and so we have an ability to interpret the law as we see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, obviously law enforcement is about interpreting the law. And I've never understood the whole internal investigations and, you know, basically law enforcement enforcing themselves. And there's always been resistance to that. And there is very little. I mean, even this tribunal going on now is not exact. I mean, it's not base. There's no criminal charges that will come from it. It's just about trying to figure out what went wrong, right? And it's a public, it's almost a public cleansing experience, right? So there's nothing legal about it in terms of the end, from my understanding, in terms of charges that could go to bear on this. But, like, there's got to be some better review process to, or something that's got, like, that has to happen to break that culture, to break that whatever it is that's out there. Because you're right, I mean, there's probably the majority of them just really good, but they're the quieter ones. They're the ones, it's sort of like, you know, you don't, millions of flights happen a day or a week or whatever, and every so often a plane lands on the Hudson or something, and that's the one you know, right? But, you know, but otherwise, it's a pretty safe mode of travel. It's probably the safest mode of travel there is, right? And so, you know, you don't see about the, you don't hear about the day-to-day of the good cop doing some good stuff, right? Or the good RCMP officer getting his or her man, you know?
Sure, like, sure.
You hear about the crazy woman cop who shoots the wrong person, those taser-frenzied RCMP people at YVR. Like, it's, I don't know, it just lends itself to this really not healthy culture out there. So.
Yeah, no, that definitely sums that up. I think that's a good way, like, the culture that you're talking about, you know? But it's just, it makes you like want to pull your hair out. Like, you can't believe this is here. This is happening here, you know?
But I want, like, and it must be, I mean, this is a totally uneducated, you know, observer out there who basically seeing a certain side of what we get in the news coverage. So I can't imagine what the culture is like inside there.
Well,
know? Or if you're trying to do good or what have, like, it's a, you know, I mean, I still think, I mean, I don't know. I don't, and of course I don't deal with law enforcement on a regular basis, you know, like the same sort of thing, right? So it's a bit,
but that's
sort of asterisk, or, you know, not asterisk, but just,
but an appendix or appendix, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a good point you brought up, though, because it's like, okay, well, there's always going to be stuff the public's not going to know initially, at least.
Right.
But, you know, I'll tell you this, it's like, and I'm sure you'd agree, you know, we have no choice but to just know what's reported.
Yeah,
like the average person can only know what's reported in different alternative medias as much as possible. And, you know, it's like, what did we think about the taser when it first happened? And the video, we saw the video or we heard the transcript or whatever.
Right.
So we based an opinion based on that. A year later, we find out that the cop's version of the events was completely wrong. So there's a case in point of, were we off? Not really.
No.
Was the public opinion off?
Yeah,
really, you know.
That's true.
Because there's only so much like the average person can kind of absorb and try to understand, because there's media in our face all the time in all different directions.
Yeah.
And I think it is important to know those little inner details that only the cops know for like a year before it comes out. And I understand why they hold it back sometimes, because there's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleared up first.
Right.
And I understand the position that the cops themselves are in, because not necessarily the cops that were involved in the incidents, but other cops. Like, other cops that might know something, but there's this big protectionist thing inside, right?
Yeah.
That we see in movies and stuff, and we've got a glimpse of that way, but we don't really totally get it, you know? Like, the fact that you can't have some other cop really commenting on it, because they got to kind of look after their own at the same time too, which is completely understandable.
Right.
But I just only hope that something positive comes out of this where,
oh God, I hope so.
You know, like, something like this doesn't happen again. Like, my big question about this whole thing, not even the cop stuff, what was he doing for 10 hours in that airport? Has that ever been fully answered? I mean, I've heard they've done reviews of procedural reviews in the airport, but what the hell was he doing in there for 10 hours? Before the cops even got there. Like that's what I want to know.
One I don't understand, too, is really, within 10 hours, you cannot find anyone who speaks Polish.
Oh, like, well, how many interpreters they have there of different languages? Like, in the dozens, don't they?
Yeah.
I could be wrong, like, but...
I don't understand, like... It doesn't take a rocket scientist to try to figure out that this person does not speak English.
Yeah.
And this person needs to communicate because something's going on. So, like, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that could have done before this incident even happened. And I know the YVR people have said that they're trying to deal with it and figure it out. But, like, really? Did someone have to die before you had to realize that Polish may be a language you might want to have available within staff at YVR, you know, on a... maybe 24-hour basis? Is there no flights ever that come out from out of Warsaw or anything, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hello?
Yeah, and, you know, if that was me, I if I hadn't slept in 2 days and I had been in an airport for 10 hours, I'd be probably ready for throwing out some office equipment, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it sounds like a joke, but I think I would be.
Yeah.
If I can't find anyone to help me or if I'm incredibly confused, I'd get pretty aggressive too, maybe.
I wonder about the Polish government has a lawyer observing this commission, and you know, it's probably making news in Poland. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. Is the Polish Olympic team even going to attempt to come to Vancouver? Like, is anyone ever from Poland going to come to Vancouver as a tourist? It's real. A shame, you know, like there's a real problem when you deal with the way he was dealt with. Like, there's just
and I think it would affect that whole Eastern Europe bloc, wouldn't it? Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between that and some of the Balkan states or the other Slavic states or the other,
that's true,
you know, Eastern satellites and stuff? Who knows, right?
And I don't fly to and from Poland, so I don't know how they, and I don't speak Polish. I speak English, so I don't have an understanding of what has changed since then, which I think maybe there's a lot, and let's hopefully give them the benefit of the doubt that a lot of changes have happened. But one, it's never been completely articulated, and two, at the time it happened, I was never pleased. I think we talked about this in a previous podcast about how YVR really didn't come out. I mean, yes, I guess you don't want to say, you know, it was our fault or whatever, but, like, they sort of distanced themselves from any responsibility. Absolutely. At all, like, at the time, you know, it really irked me. So.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Anyways, we've talked about that often enough, I'm sure, in our various podcasts, but I just wanted to bring it up because it was back in the news, and...
No, I'm glad you
and
did.
And it just gets me angry again, like...
Oh, I know. I read those things, and I see the videos, and I'm like, come on, guys.
Well, lots getting me angry these days, and the economy, of course, is the other big one. I had Obama here, but just generally because he's in the news these days. He's out in London and doing the London G20 summit and making his first international trip and overseas. He was the first international trip was to Canada, of course.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I've just been reading and seeing about the whole economic downfall and how, you know, basically Obama, the administration, got the CEO of General Motors fired. And,
imagine that, huh?
And
so unprecedented.
And the whole AIG thing, American Insurance Group, about their bonuses and everything. There's just a lot of shit going on down there in the States, eh?
Well, yeah, I mean, Elaine and I were talking about it today with this G20 because, you know, you've got almost kind of two camps. You've got one camp is really big and one camp's really small. The big camp is our prime minister, like, and Harper, and like Canada, Sarkozy with France, and the chancellor of Germany, I can't remember her name.
Merkel.
Yes. Them and others are like, we need more regulation in global finance. We just need it. And Obama's thing, and probably maybe a couple other countries, we're just going to throw money at it. Stimulus. Let's get this, you know, economy moving that way. And apparently Sarkozy is like, I'm going to storm out of this G20 farce if I don't get some more regulation going, you know? And I was like, wow.
He's apparently toned off of that rhetoric since then, at least in a New York Times thing that I read this afternoon.
But, oh yeah,
but yeah, I mean, there it's right. It's basically two camps, and it's well, it's fairly always Anglo-American, like British and America. For some reason, they're together in one camp, and like so
is Britain in the
U.S. camp?
Is it?
Yeah. Jeez. But it's very interesting. Like I don't know enough about finance, to be frankly honest. And the whole thing about Jon Stewart, you know, he was combating Jim Cramer,
yes,
you know, from CNBC. I never seen that Mad Money show before in my life. And I show a little clip, saw a little clip of it.
Yeah.
And it's insane, like, how they dumbed down finance. And two, it's so true about how financial journalists are actually not journalists.
No, and when I heard that word, I was like, huh? Really?
Yeah.
Or didn't that surprise? I'd never heard of that before.
Well, like, financial journalists are sort of like entertainment journalists. You know, like, don't, I mean, that's basically what it is, right? And it just so happens that finance journalism and business journalists talk about things that we kind of don't really understand, like derivatives and subprime mortgages and lending of this and that, and when, you know, to buy or sell a stock or that sort of stuff.
Right.
But most people understand when the Olsen twins go shopping in New York City. Like, you know, it's not a hard concept to visualize and understand what that means, you know? So, but it's the same thing. It's all self-promotion. It's all, you know, hearsay.
And, yeah.
And the problem with finance is, yes, it's numbers, but it's very, it's an art, not a science. It's very emotional. It's psychological, right? Like, when people have confidence in a stock, they buy it. If they don't, they sell it, right? It's,
sure.
It's not about value. It's about, you know, there's a human essence to it, which is what is dangerous. And when I saw that with Jon Stewart, I'm like, it's so funny. Like, Jon Stewart plays it so well. He plays the sanity in the center of chaos. So sure. That's just shtick, and it's great comedy, but it's great, like, common sense. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah,
but there's it's funny because we have our Prime Minister Stephen Harper now doing all these little interviews in like Fox News and CNN and but there is a truth to the fact that there hasn't been a need for any $1 billion bailouts for any of the Canadian banks.
Correct.
It's true,
absolutely.
And you know, I mean, I've got my money in a bank, in Canadian bank, and I'm sure you would do, and our credit union or something. And the financial system, although it's probably taken a bit of a hit, it's pretty solid, you know.
Yeah,
and
they're actually making profits.
Yeah, and so it's because of the regulations that are in place here, and so, you know, it is true. I mean, none of it really has to do with Stephen Harper. Just happens to be he's prime minister of a country where this has happened. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think there is something to be said about strong regulation to ensure that free market and activity can happen in a respectful way, you know, and that's what I think they're hoping for, right? And whether there's a international, you know, body that does regulation or what have you, I mean, I don't, but there's got to be some oversight, obviously. But anyway, there's an interesting point. I saw a little clip from his interview on CNN
Of who, sir?
Stephen Harper's interview, and he sort of said this fact, and I haven't fact checked this, but basically the quote was something like, five of the top whatever banks, biggest banks in North America are now Canadian.
Yeah.
Like, we're the top, five of the top 50 banks in the world
are like now Royal and
Canadian, yeah. And it's true, when all the big ones go down like a ton of bricks, I mean, it's true.
So, I'm surprised that, you know, we weren't impacted more because we are tied into all the different financial networks. Like, you know, Royal Bank, for example, they own a lot of assets in the States and in Britain. And
they have a hockey arena named after they're the title sponsor of a hockey arena somewhere in the States.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I think it's so brilliant because
Royal Bank Center.
It's called the RBC Arena somewhere. I forget one NHL team down in the States has it. I forget which one. Right? And when I saw that on the, that's brilliant because it probably cost them a heck of a lot less to get their name on that arena than they would to get it on the Air Canada Center in Toronto or GM Place here, but they'll get the same exposure because every so often a Canadian team will come down there or will, you know, Canadians who love watching their highlights will say, oh, whatever team playing at the RBC,
funny,
you get the same coverage.
That's
basically
so Canadian, like RBC. You think, I mean, we all think. There's no not, you know, there's other entities in Canada that we don't think are necessarily Canadian, you know, even right. though they are. But that of course is one. That's an interesting point.
Well, what I find really interesting about the Canadian banking system, from what I understand, and I don't know much,
sure, but
what I understand is that when the banks take our money and, you know, we put it in the savings or different deposits or whatever, and they go and invest it out and that sort of stuff, the regulations are in place that only a certain amount of that investment can be international or outside of Canada. And that number, I think most countries have that, but most countries, you know, it could be, you know, 100% of what you invest or you reinvest into the financial system can be outside of your country. But Canada's is much lower. So let's say, you know, let's say U.S. banks can, or let's say, you know, that example, let's say, you know, I don't know, German banks can invest, you know, 80% of their money outside of Germany. So they buy lots of American stuff because that's where all the high risk stuff is, right? And that's why a lot of European banks got tanked. You know, the percentages are all wrong, right? But as an example, but Canada, you know, well, let's say Canadian banks, while Germany could invest 80%, it's only like 20% or something. And so because of the regulations we have, we legally could not, or Canadian banks couldn't legally invest 80% of their money in U.S. banks. It's not allowed, right? So that's why we are integrated to some degree, but not to the same depth as some other countries in their banks.
Interesting.
That's from my understanding how it's working. That's from what I've been gathering.
No, I'm sure you're probably pretty close. I mean, it is very obviously very complicated, and it's well above most people's heads. But you know, there's some basic principles I think that you know a lot of people could generally agree on, and you know, hopefully not call them socialist. But yeah, any last topics on here? I just had the G20 and we've talked about so far. So.
Yeah, and I mean, it's unrolling for the next 2 days, so it's hard to talk about it before it's really happened. But the other thing was that I do have to say, this weekend we did have the Juno Awards, which is the Canadian Grammys.
Sorry, did I say something?
Well, no, you didn't. You didn't hear it at all. But it's funny because our friend Kev and I... and my sister, we all went to see the Juno Cup on Friday night, which is a lot of fun. Like,
that's cool.
It's so much better. It's like Juno Cup is a one hockey game with rock star musicians playing against old-time NHL players, so National Hockey League. And so ice hockey at the new UBC Arena, which is going to be host to some Olympic hockey games, actually. So it's a nice new place.
That's cool.
And it's just a lot of fun, I have to say. Because when you watch an all-star game for the NHL or, like, the old-timers games, like, it's kind of boring, you know?
Kind of, yeah.
But at least the musicians, they actually wanted to win. Like, they were out there trying their best. And,
cool.
And I basically just kept cheering, and so did Kev, for Jim Cuddy and Kathleen Edwards. Kathleen Edwards, the only woman on the ice.
Wow.
And she ended up scoring, which would never have counted in real life, but, you know, she still scored, and she scored a penalty shot goal too, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun, like I have to say. And then the only thing I'll just say about the Grammys I just find really interesting is you know, we don't have much in Canadian celebrity. We don't, you know. I mean, our television shows aren't exactly like Grey's Anatomy or ER or something.
US networks are picking up a lot of them right now.
That is true. Like, there's a show that's on CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, that's on SoapNet or something. It's actually on Wednesdays. I think it's on tonight. It's called Being Erica, which I've seen a few times. It's actually pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah, like it's actually pretty good.
Getting better, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, but there's no way our TV stars in Canada, you know, is anywhere near the echelon of they are in the U.S. And even like I was saying, having a discussion with my sister, but like, you know, like, oh, what about Kiefer Sutherland or whatever? I'm like, well, that's different. Those are Canadians, American TV stars who just happen to be Canadian.
Which is a very different thing. Yeah.
And then, you know, our movie stars, although, you know, Jim Carrey and who all those are still big, but they are, again,
U.S. movie stars
who just happen to be Canadian. Like, there's no one who's going to become world famous because they were in an Anna McGoyan film. It's just not going to happen, right? But
aside from Liam Neeson. He's already famous.
Yeah, he's already famous. Music is really the only one where that celebrity status is anywhere remotely like it is, has any sort of outside of Canada stature to it, like some sort of international recognition, North American recognition. And it's just kind of neat, I have to say. Like, it's neat. I mean, you have to be proud of that. And there's a lot people can say about the Junos, and I didn't even watch it. Like, I didn't watch it. And you guys didn't watch it, did you? Because you guys didn't have television, so.
We wouldn't have anyway.
You weren't going to download it, are you?
Nope.
But, so I didn't even watch it. But, you know, I do have to say, I like the model when it's not now just always in Toronto. It's an arena show that gets around different parts of the country, which I think that's the best part of it.
You know, we were out on the street, we went to a birthday party, and on Granville they had, you know, the, like...
The big party or something.
Yeah, the Juno performances, the WestJet Junos or something like that.
It's like a free street party kind of thing or whatever it was, and I think that performance is, I think you did have to pay for it, but there's a lot of free stuff going on.
Yeah, there's like a wristband for $30 that would get you into any of those performances, which is cool, but, you know, I heard one band going by, you could... Paid $3, get in there, or you could stand right outside for free. Worked out really well. But basically, they're like, yeah, we're from Winnipeg, or we're from, you know... It's like, my idea, and I think... And I was talking to Kevin and Susie about this, actually.
Yeah.
And Elaine is like, I totally have this marketing plan. You know?
Okay, like, yep.
Not marketing plan, but kind of like a business plan.
Okay, yep.
They need the big... Some big names to put on TV so people watch, so they get an audience. Right?
Because yes.
There's a ton of those, you know, more mainstream music fan people that just need to hear the big names. That's why they'll tune in.
Yeah, yeah.
But because of the good idea, which is they go around city to city to city every year to do the ceremony, you know, they have events in the town. Well, having the street, the street performances, you know, it's great to check out talent from other parts of the country, but I think that they should profile lesser known bands in those cities.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I know it's easy for me to say because I'm a local musician, and I just had deja vu. I think I dreamt us talking about this while podcasting.
Well, I'm glad I'm in your dreams.
As per usual. but yeah, no, my thing was like, okay, well, if they're going to come to Vancouver, for example, get all these bands who are, you know, relatively unknown outside of Vancouver. Profile them, get them online, live streaming performances, or, you know, Canada Live on the CBC or what have you, and get those people out there. And then when you go to Halifax, then do the same thing there in Toronto or whatever. I think that would kind of make more business sense. You know what I mean? And then you can plaster it all online, and people can go back to videos or audio of those things, and then that way it's like, okay, well, it highlights that city, and then you can really find those bands that just need that extra oomph, you know.
Well, and it's a different mentality, which I think is a better mentality, and it's interesting because it's the same kind of thing we talk about in my work and working in communities and stuff. Is that the Juno model now, although it brings a lot of excitement, it's really about the fact that it comes from a space where, wow, we're the Junos, we're great, we're going to bring all this great stuff that you just don't get here. We're going to boom. Yeah. You know, Vancouver, maybe it's a little bit different, or if it's in Toronto or Montreal, but, like, you know, in Regina or in Halifax or in Saskatoon or St. John's, Newfoundland, right?
Yeah.
We're going to bring this great party, boom, in your city. And that brings a certain level of excitement, right?
Sure does,
and you still need a little piece of it. But if you think about it as what you're talking about, it's sort of like saying, we're just this one giant spotlight, and we're going to choose to focus on a certain city, and then we want to highlight what the assets are in your community. So instead of saying, you're kind of don't have much and we know better, so we're going to come into your town and show you what a great party is like.
Exactly.
We're going to give you the opportunity, the tools. You show us what a great party is like. You give it all your talent.
Yes.
And then we will spotlight that for the rest of the world to see.
That's a
totally different lens, a much more powerful lens. And that's what community building is like. And it's supposed to be, right? And community building, whether or not it's, you know, individuals living in a city, or it's a community of arts, or the community of whatever, it's the same principle, right? And I think you're right. I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's a difference between, you know, cultivating the land or raping it, right?
And I think every year they're heading towards the cultivating side of it, getting closer and closer. Yeah. I mean, they were like, oh, you know, they've really done it right this time. They've tapped into the indie market. It's like, well... Not really. It's getting better, But there's still miles to go, I think. And I think it can really be something where other countries around the world, like on 30 Rock, the Canadian Grammy.
Okay, and yeah, they said the Canadian Grammy mentioned it. That's
that
right.
That was hilarious. But anyway, I think, you know, it's something that hopefully they'll consider doing more as they go along.
But yeah, I mean, they're definitely, like you said, they're definitely, they got their headspace kind of getting to the right place. So, you know, hey, you know, give it kudos for that.
Give it another decade or...
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Well, it's taken them forever long to figure this out.
Like, oh, I
and I'm
know.
Like,
well,
yeah, why would
outside
you...
of Toronto.
Hello, you know.
Yeah.
Now, if only the Grammys could get out of the Staples Center at some point in their life.
That, there's that, too.
But anyways, we're at 45.
Yeah. Should probably wrap her up before 46 comes around.
Sounds good. But, this has been great. I don't know. I feel kind of, we haven't done this in a while for some reason. It just feels that way. Although I don't think it's been that long.
Yeah, I think it's been about 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. Maybe
I actually think it has. Yeah. I know we mean to do it and then something comes up and, you know, we got to keep postponing it. But we made it before my Paris trip. So
nice. I'm glad.
We'll reconvene
post-trip.
Paris.
Post-Paris. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, and so long until then, and this is Sean.
It's Justin.
Just in case you forgot.
Tune us in on .matrix.com or find us on iTunes, and we will breathlessly await your return from Paris.
Yes, and we another quick reminder, we do have a Facebook group, so it's open to anyone. Please look us up if you're not on it already, and we'll post whenever the episodes go up on there as well.
Awesome.
Okay, well... take care. Bye.
Bye.